Amen. Don't be looking sad, y'all. Smile. Because you're saved today. Amen. Amen. Because Jesus is the best thing. I don't know about you, but he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. No matter what. No matter what. No, you can leave it there. Just in case. Thank you. Today we're going to be in the book of James. It's something that we've done before. It's not something that we haven't studied before. But today is just going to be kind of a morning of encouragement. A morning of encouragement. Because you know what? We all need to be encouraged sometimes. So turn to the book of James with me. Some of you have heard this before, and if you have heard it before, and if you can answer my little rhetorical questions, hey, that's a great thing. That's a really, really, really good thing. So we're going to be in the book of James in chapter 1. As we talked about this not too long ago, actually. I don't know if we were in James, but we certainly talked about the topic. About the topic. And we're going to be in verses 2, oh, let's say 2 through 8 right now. James chapter 1, 2, well, you know what? How about 1 through 8? How about 1 through 8? James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. When you found it, stand to your feet. We're just going to read it together. James, anybody know who James was? The half-brother of Jesus. The half-brother of Jesus. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance or endurance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, that for the endurance that can only come through Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that we can consider it pure joy. That, God, that we can make it in spite of the issues of life and the things, God, that get in our way, the things that seem to hinder us, God, from just pursuing you with just more passion and just more depth and just pursuing that relationship that we need to have with you. So God, I just thank you this morning for everyone who is here. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be encouraged, by whatever it is that you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, let us all say, Amen. Consider it pure joy. James scattered, scattered, scattered amongst the tribes of Israel, persecuted, and there's just a whole story behind James and continuing to be a servant even though we are persecuted. Continuing to be a servant even though things go on in our lives. Continuing to be a servant even though we have things that come up all the time. All the time. How many of you? You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have something that you have to endure through? Some of you have to endure through a relationship this morning. Some of you have to endure through a marriage this morning. Some of you have to endure through some hard time finances this morning. Some of you have to endure just through like me, health and sickness this morning. Some of you just have to endure through. Maybe it's finding a job this morning. Maybe it's figuring out what God wants you to do this morning. Maybe it's just so many things that you have to endure through this morning. Everybody's endurance, everybody's stuff, everybody's issues are not the same, are they? They're not the same. We have endurance through waiting and waiting on God to do something that we've been praying for just for a long, long, long time. Amen? We do. And so, is it easy? No, it is not easy. It's not easy. Some of us are enduring through work issues and just trying to get through those kinds of things and the persecution that goes along with work and with having to, thank you so much, with having to endure. Amen? With having to endure. Some of us are having to endure with small children or grandchildren. It's not easy to raise children today, is it? It is just not easy. It's not easy, I'm not talking about just small children. It's not easy to raise children, period. It's just not easy. It's not easy to be a young adult today, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy to track with all the social media. And I'm going to say, just say junk. Just junk. Just stuff. Excuse me. It's just not easy today. And so each one of us has something that we have to what endure with. For some of us, God is just trying to do something different in our lives. And it's not easy to endure with that either. Let me tell you, it's just not easy. And here we have James, who's writing this letter to the church in Jerusalem. He's writing this letter, one of the earliest letters written to the church, and just to encourage them. To encourage them. And you know what? I'm up here to encourage you today. And I know you might find that difficult to believe, but it's my job to encourage us today. That you know what? You can go through some stuff today. You know what? My life, your life, could always be worse. It could always be worse. I could think of some many worse places to be in and worse conditions to be in. Amen. Can you? I can. I just can. I just can. And so every day, every morning that I get up, you know what helps me through the day is gratitude. Just to be gracious and to be thankful that God is so good. What do I mean by good? I woke up this morning. I may have woke up a little slow start, but he did start me on my way. Amen. So the Lord is blessing each one of us. You are here today because God wanted you here today to hear this message today. And you know what? Our second verse says, you know what? It says what? Consider it joy. Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters. How do you consider something joy? when you're going through something? How do you consider it joy when you gotta go home to the same junk every day? How do you consider it joy when you have to go through the same job every day? How do you consider it joy when you have to go home to the same difficult relationships that you go home to or endure in every single day? How do you consider it all joy? Consider it, and he just said to consider it all, consider it pure joy. Pure joy, not just any kind of joy, but pure joy, the joy that only Jesus can give. How do you do that when you face trials of many kinds? And I want to tell you about four weeks ago, and it's just so, wow, I was doing so well. See, well, you know what, I have my other issues, but you know, we won't even discuss those because those are just kind of minor right now. But you know, it's doing kind of well, and I came into work that Monday morning, and one of my staff members was as sick could be with a sinus infection. I mean, she was sick. And I said, you know what? You are really, really sick and infectious right now. You need to go home. Unfortunately, she sits right there. I'm like, my office is here, and she sits outside a cubicle of my office. And within, I'd say probably a day or so, I had this banging headache and knew, you know, hey, I'm getting sick. I am getting sick, but God, you know what, you got this. And so I endured this headache, and I don't know if you all remember, but that was the Saturday that, it was the Saturday of Brother John Williams, kind of a little get-together, gathering, reception. And I was not feeling well that day at all, and not feeling well, just still had that headache. Now, we're talking about, what, 5 days later, having a headache and taking Tylenol and doing all this stuff. And then the next week, Thursday, you're going to laugh, but no, it was Wednesday. I went to the clinic, because I have to go to the clinic because of the dialysis treatment that I'm on. It was just a regular old follow-up clinic appointment. So I go in there, and they take my temperature, and it's 101. And I'm like, I thought it was just hot outside. I'm just burning up to 101 fever. And so they all panicked, and they're all running around like little chickens and trying to get different cultures and different things and all this stuff. And so I'm thinking, you know what, this is just a sinus infection, but they have to do what they have to do. And so they put me on these antibiotics, which were the probably the worst. You know, being on antibiotics is no fun, y'all. It's just not fun. Put me on those for like 10 days, and here I am. Okay, so I'm on the antibiotics, and I seem to be getting better and seem to be doing okay. And then I was in the garden. That's that following Saturday. And so me, brilliant, gonna go shovel in the garden. Not really hard though, because I let really Dana and Mariah do the shoveling, mostly. But I did some with a big shovel and trying to dig up them trees. They were no longer weeds, as Mariah says, they were trees. So that Saturday evening, you know, my hip was a little bit sore. And so I was like, okay, well, that should go away. I mean just the slightest bit sore. And so Sunday, you know, Monday, I go to physical therapy because I got these other issues going on. And so I go because, you know, when you have radiation treatments, you don't know what damage you have on the inside. And so that's kind of what I've been really struggling with these last few months, is the damage on the inside that I don't know about. And so I go, and the physical therapist, I'm not really big on physical therapists right this second, but she did some active release on my hip. And you know, just really trying to be helpful, really, 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 really. And by the time she was done, I have not been the same since. 3 weeks. Tomorrow will be 3 weeks later that I have not been the same. I can't sit down. I can't lay down. I can't stand up. This is the first day, that I've been able to stand up and feel okay. The first day in 3 weeks. I have, you know, I got work to do. And you know, y'all, I do some social media. Y'all know I ain't got time for this. Ain't nobody got time for this. Who got time? Who has got time for all this kind of stuff? Do you have time for the things that you're going through in your life? No. Do I have time for the things that I'm going through in my life? Yet what? God calls us to what? Endure. Some of our Bibles might say patience, but patience in the New Testament means what? Endure. It means that we have to endure. It means that what? That we can't give up. That we have to keep moving and keep growing, just like grass. Well, when it does grow. Y'all supposed to laugh. Anyway. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because what? You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It produces endurance. And then it says, let endurance have its let it finish its work so that you can be mature and complete. What does that mean? Let endurance have its perfect work so you can be mature and complete. You know, some of us are immature and very much so incomplete because we don't know how to act when we're going through. Some of us just do the wrong things, say the wrong things, can't get with whatever it is that's going on, can't pray, can't do what God needs us to do in order to endure. But God calls us to do what? To pray and to stay prayerful. To be, I don't say stay on your knees all the time, but I say stay prayerful all the time. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. You just can't let up for like days at a time and think that everything is just going to be okay. That you don't have to be on your knees, that you don't have to say, Lord, have mercy sometimes. That you don't have to keep putting joy on top of joy. That you don't have to keep putting thanksgiving on top of thanksgiving. Some of us, you know what? Was threatened that weren't even going to have a roof over our heads at some point in time. But you got one. Some of us, you know what? We may not have all that we want, but what? You got what you need. Amen. Some of us may not have just the situations may not be what we want them to be, but we know that who is working it out? That God is working it out for us. Amen. We do know that. You know what? Things aren't the way I want them to be, but I'm cancer-free, amen? Because I know things could be a whole lot worse, and I know, you know what, I might say that a lot, but you know what? It's a whole mouthful to say, because things could be a whole lot worse, a whole lot worse. Some of you, you know what? God put you in the relationship that you're in, not only for the other person, but he put you in that for you. So that you could grow. Amen. So that you could be the person or become the person that he wants you to be. But you refuse to listen. You refuse to be the person that God wants you to be. Because you're immature and incomplete. You refuse to listen, to take heed to what God says you ought to do in certain situations. Because God wants you ultimately to be like Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be wise. It means to be like Jesus Christ. So whatever we're doing that's not like Jesus Christ is not what? It's not wise. You're not acting in wisdom. You're not letting yourself be perfected. And so what kind of saints are we? Because I know that everybody in here has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everyone in here. And so, or at least made the attempt one time. Made the attempt one time. But some of you are not living the way God wants you to live today. Some of you don't consider it pure joy. Some of you are still cussing and fussing about the situation that you're in. Some of you are still not thankful about what's going on in your life. Some of you still watching the same old junk. Some of you are still doing the same old junk. Some of you are still, just still, not trusting God for whatever it is that's going on in your life. And you know what? We've all had our moments, haven't we? Not just you, but me also. We've just had our moments where it's like, God, you know? Okay, so what gives here? What gives here? What do you want me to learn? Haven't I learned enough? Well, haven't you ever said that? Well, haven't I learned that lesson? Obviously not, because I'm still going through something, right? Amen. God always has something for us to learn. That's what I want you to know today. He always has something for us to learn. And when he says mature and complete, not lacking anything, he doesn't mean perfection. That's not what James means. He means that we are continuing on to be the people that God wants us to be, to continue on to learn and to grow and to take these lessons, these trials, these difficulties, these things that we go through as encouragement that God is working out something. He's working out something. I don't know exactly what God is working out in your life, in your life, in your life, in your life. I don't know exactly what he's working out, but I know he's working out all things well. That I do know that he's working out. And he says, you know what? Y'all gotta laugh. If you're really acting crazy, I was gonna say, if you're really acting stupid, ask God. If you're really acting silly, ask God. He says, ask me for wisdom. Ask me for wisdom, who gives generally to all without finding fault. That is probably the most important, one of the most important verses in Scripture. Because you know what? We have a God who, no matter what we do, no matter how far we fall, no matter how much we sin, a God who understands each one of us uniquely and specifically. Uniquely and specifically. Your sin is not my sin, and my sin is not your sin, but God understands without what? Finding fault. Without finding fault, all we have to do is what? Just ask. Just talk to him. He says, just talk to me. Talk to me about your children. Talk to me about your grandchildren. Talk to me about your relationships. Talk to me about those things. Don't ignore me in all the whole mix of everything. Just don't. Nothing is too big for me, or nothing is too small for me to be concerned about you. Nothing. There's nothing. Nothing God doesn't know. Nothing he doesn't care about. Nothing. So that means what right now? Everything that's on your mind ought to be what? Before our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that's on your mind, every single thing, there's nothing that you cannot go before the Lord. Believing though and not doubting. You have to believe and not doubt. Because you know what? Some of us still doubt. Some of you still doubt that God can with your children. Some of you still, and I'm not talking about little children, I'm talking about your big children. Some of you still believe that God can't do it, or that God won't do it. Some of you still don't pray. Some of you still don't keep his name lifted up. But he says, you gotta believe in what? Not doubt. And we talked about not doubting before and what that means. We talked about the fact that not doubting means what? Not having separate thoughts. Not having separate thoughts. How many of you have separate thoughts from God? Sometimes. I do. You do. If you say you don't, you know better. you just know better. Because a lot of times our thoughts are separate from what God's thoughts are. And that's what this means. It says, don't let your thoughts be separate from God. And what does it take for your thoughts to not be separate from God? It not only takes gratitude, but you know what? I believe it takes constant prayer. You know why? Because a lot of times God has to move you from point A to point Q. Because your thoughts are way down that way, and God's thoughts are way down this way, and the two of them are not what? They are not lining up. They are not lining up. And so, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means a constant state of prayer. God, bring me in line to where you are. Because right now, we are so far apart from our thinking. I'm so far apart, I don't know what you're doing. I just don't know. And you know what? Part of being so far apart from God is trying to not always figure out what he's doing, but trying to line up with, like I said, where he is. How many of you have difficulty lining up with where God is sometimes? I do. How many of you does it take some time to figure out where God is sometimes? Or where you're supposed to be sometimes, because you figure out, I'm so far from where you wanted me to be. I don't know what's wrong with me. What is wrong with me? And why can't I get this together? Because you know what? If we got it together, guess what? Our lives would be so much easier to live if we just let God do it and not be tossed about by the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You know what? We had some people in this church tossed by the wind, y'all. They're over here. They're over there. They're over here, they're over there, they're everywhere, except where? Center, where they're supposed to be. Not necessarily talking about here, Antioch as a physical place, but centered in Christ, where you're supposed to be. Because if you were centered in Christ, you know, for some of them, they would still be right here. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying. He says, and this is another important statement in this passage. It says, the person who is double-minded, the person who is not on the same path with God, the person who, you know what? Yeah, I forgive you, but I didn't forget you. Or things like that that's going on in your life where you don't center up with who God is. He says in verse 7, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Those are some big statements. First of all, if you ask God, he won't find fault. But if you don't ask, and you are just on a different wavelength from God, he says what? Don't expect anything from me. So could that be the reason why some of us don't have what we need, what we want? Could that be why some of us are not where we need to be? It's because we're like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, because we are so what? Double-minded and unstable in everything that we do. Now, you know what? I know a lot of unstable people. Y'all think I'm playing. I am not playing with y'all. Somebody called me this week and said, I can't get committing suicide off my mind. Well, you need to get it off your mind because you know better. And if you don't, you need to go see your doctor or go call the mental health hotline. You need to do something different. But I don't want you to be disappointed talking about disappointed in me. In me? What about him? Be disappointed in me. I'm good. I'm good with you. I forgive you, but you know what? It's not up to me. It's up to you and the Lord, because you're unstable and you're double-minded in all your ways, and you keep coming up with this scenario. Y'all think I'm kidding. Every week, there's somebody or something that comes up where people are like, I'm just unstable. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ if you're unstable. You need to know him who is the one, the stabilizer, the equalizer, the one who's the heart fixer and the mind regulator. You need to know him, because knowing me is not going to really help you along that far. Right? Amen? Not for any of you? But you need to know who. You need to point them in whose direction? In the direction of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because you need to what? Line up with who he wants you to be. I know we've talked about this stuff before. I know we have. But you know what? You know what I find? We can't talk about it enough. Because every time we talk about it, there's something new happening, right? There's always something new going on. Because God's not what? He's not finished perfecting. He never finishes perfecting us. Never. Never. Ever. Never finishes us on our job. He doesn't finish us in our schools. Whatever we're doing, he is not through perfecting. So I just thank God today that he what? Endures along with me. Because I tend to want to what? Give it up. Every day, I have to just thank God for that endurance, for that ability to persevere in him. And I want you to thank God every day for that ability to persevere in him, to endure every single day. You skip reading your Bible today? Read it later. You skip reading your Bible today? Read it tomorrow. You're not hearing God? Get in tune. Get on that wavelength. Read something. I always remember Charles Stanley. He always be trying to tune into the Lord, that radio frequency. You need to tune into the right radio frequency. Because God wants you on his frequency. He wants you stable. He wants you to be able to what? To hear him. It's not an easy life to live a life of Christ. How many of you have heard of the poet Robert Frost? Anybody? Anybody? This is what? I have miles to go before I sleep. Miles to go before I sleep. And when you read about his poem and how he took the road that was what? That was not taken. The one that was less traveled by. It's always going to be the tougher road. But we have promises that God has made to us and promises that we've made to God. And we have miles to go before we sleep, before we keep those promises that we've made. Promises to endure to the end. To the end. Promises just not to give up. And not to give up on our God. Amen? Not to give up. I hope I didn't bore you today. I hope that is something you could use. Something that you could be encouraged by. Because we all need encouragement. We all need it. We all need it.